You have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter number 5. Luke chapter number 5. Luke chapter number 5. We'll read responsive verses 1 through 11 of Luke chapter number 5. Luke chapter number 5, beginning in verse 1, we'll read responsively. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a trout. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned on to their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, for henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for the time we're able to meet tonight, Father. Lord, I pray you just bless the reading of the Word of God tonight, Father. Lord, I just pray that we'll have a good service, Lord. I pray that you'll use this message to be a help and encouragement to some people, Father, Lord. I pray just your name will be uplifted and glorified. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Now, we see here in the story, we're going through the life of Peter and James and John and the disciples. We see that they were out casting their nets. They were out fishing all night. And as they carried all the night, they went through. And it says, the Bible says they toiled for nothing. They've gone out all night and have gotten nothing in return. And they came up and Jesus says, cast thy nets upon. Now, I'm not good in that much in English, but I know nets means plural. With that, that's what, with the word, it says nets. But Peter was like, okay, Lord, I will cast my net. Now, if you look on verse 4, and it says nets. And he was just like, okay, Lord, you know, I've been here all night. I'm just not really going to do much, but I'll at least just give you one time. I'll give you one phrase of it. I'll give you one part of my life. And so I'll give you this one opportunity to do something. And so he did it. And the Bible says, when he put thy net on the other side, they got draws of fishes. They had more and more. But they had to call their partners over and say, hey, you know, I can't handle all these. I need some help. But I want to talk about the message. I want to talk about a title. It's called The Command That People Fear to Hear. And we come around, you know, I turned 21. I turned 22 in October. And I was saved at the age of 19. I was sitting in college chapel. I was a freshman in college. And, you know, several of y'all met my dad a few weeks ago. And he's been a pastor ever since I've been in church. You know, preacher always says, you know, I have an addiction problem, drug problem. I'm drugged to church. I'm addicted to church. I'm drugged like that. Now, that was me. And I was always the person that I could play the game. I was playing the Christian game. I was like, you know, Dad, you know, okay, I'll just go to church. Why do we have to go to church? I don't like this. And we really didn't have much. We were at a church for Dad pastored up in Tennessee for about 7 years. And then we came down and he became the assistant of the church. And that's where I grew up when they had a Christian school. So I was in there. And we ended up, something happened, we had to end up leaving the church. And, I'm about third, fourth grade, and, you know, dramatic, all these kids are like, what am I going to do with all my friends? I won't see any of my friends, what am I going to do? And my mom made the mistake of homeschooling me for my fifth grade year. And luckily, I'm still alive by then for my mom. But just next time you see her, ask her about that. But we're going around, and I got in this kind of mood where I didn't want to do anything with church. I was kind of mad at God. I was mad at everything that I did. And I went put into a new school. That's where the school I graduated from. And kind of going on, and I kind of got around the wrong kind of friends, wrong kind of people, got into everything that was just not right, and I got into all that, and I made the statement to myself, and I told myself when I was a sophomore in high school, and I was kind of running from God, I didn't really want to do anything. I told some of my friends, I said, well, when I graduate, I'm never going to step foot in another Baptist church every day. I'm never going to step foot in church and never do this. And you can see how well that worked out. But by the grace of God, Lord got a hold of my heart. But it wasn't until, now my dad grew up in church, my sister, and the school I graduated from, my dad grew up in there in that church. So they knew all my dad, they knew all my family. And I was wanting to go to a place that they didn't know me from any place. And I wanted to be my own person, do whatever I wanted to do, and just live after what I wanted and have that aspect of it was all me, nothing about my parents. And my sister went to a Bible college down in Florida, and I just kind of felt like I felt like God wanted me in the ministry. I felt like God wanted me to do this and do that. But I look up to my dad a lot, so I figured, well, if my dad can do it, I probably should do it. Since my dad's my hero, so I think I should do it. So I went down to Bible college, got a little ground in that, and college shut down about six weeks. Once I got there, and I came back home and worked with my dad at the construction business and just worked with him and found out that I really need to go to a good Bible college. And so I was looking through things, and so we talked to a man that was at Commonwealth, and I began to think about it, look through it, and kind of question, well, you know, is it fundamental college? Is it soul winning? Is it KJV only? Is it this and is it that? And time around, I talked to one of the men that were on staff, and I said, okay, I feel like this is the place where I'm going to go. And I went there, and it was in January, and I went over there, and I'd never really seen snow before or even seen a snow pile. Because when Georgia, it says it's raining, and it's supposed to be 32 degrees outside, and it's supposed to rain, we shut down. Nothing goes in and out. All the bread and milk get gone, and we just stay at home. It's a severe emergency. But... And there's never a drop of rain. If there's two drops of rain, the whole county shuts down. But that's just how Georgia is. That's what I'm coming through, you know. Now, I just was in a little bit of car. I was like, you know what, it's snowing. Let's just go out for a drive, you know, just skidding. I was like, hey, it's fun for this. But that's just how it was. And I come up, and, you know, I didn't know anything. I didn't know really any dealing with church besides you just had to go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And why? I don't know. I was just supposed to go there. That's just what I was raised. And we were sitting in chapel, and it was about April. It was April 4th, 2017. I remember this to this day. I sat on probably about where Miss Leanne is, right about there. I sat around there, and the preacher, and it's got like a three sections auditorium. And I sat over there, and one of the evangelists that we had was talking about preaching Jesus and in hell. And I couldn't really get along with that. I was starting to say, you know, amen and all that stuff within the message and stuff, and I got to a point where I couldn't really say anything anymore. All the hair on the back of my neck just kind of stood up, and I just got really cold and just chilled. I was like, I can't do this no more. And but really what got me was there was he gave an illustration about it being a youth pastor, that and I felt like the Lord wanted me to be a youth pastor at the time. I was like, okay, I'm coming here trying to be a youth pastor. Started almost working the teenagers, worked on my bus route. I was like, okay, I can do this. And he said there was a youth pastor that was in the church that he was preaching for, and there was a youth pastor that just came running down the aisle and said, I need to get saved. And he said, I've led so many people to the Lord and doing all this. And also, and he was a youth pastor for about a few years or so, and he'd never been saved. And when he said that, I just broke down and said, okay, I can't do this no more. I need to get saved. And by the end of that mess, I came down and was able to get saved, and I ended up getting saved. And it wasn't until about a year and a half later, we had a conference. It was Passing the Mantle Conference. And it was February 8, 2019. And a preacher was talking, and the evangelist was talking about it. It was the last message of the conference. And he said, some of y'all men need to stand up and surrender to be able to preach. You need to surrender to do this. Surrender to do what God has you for. And I'd always had in my mind, well, you know, if I thought God wanted me to be a youth pastor, then I don't need to re-surrender. But I was like, I don't need to do that. But he was just like, hey, you know, I'm not going to close this message until I think, because there's someone here that needs to surrender, but I'm not going to close this message out until that one person comes to the message. And I just couldn't get away from it. So I made the step and went down. And I said, hey, Andy, God's told me to preach. I'm going to surrender to preach. And knowing that, then when I stepped down, another guy stepped down, and another guy, and another guy, and another person, there was about 8 men that surrendered to preach that day. But I want to talk about that word surrender. We think of that word surrender, it comes to a point of, if you look in the dictionary, and yes, I know how to use one of those, and the word surrender means to yield to the power, control, or possession of another upon compulsion or demand. We see these sayings says, you talk about, you know, wars or talking about battle. So they're going to surrender. They're going to wave the flag and say, hey, I'm going to surrender, okay? I've had enough. I'm going to surrender to this. And so I give up. I'm waving the flag. I surrender. Okay, you win. You have this. But sometimes as Christians, God will tell us that he wants us to surrender, but unto his will for our lives. But how many of us will not surrender unto him? You think of it, God may be calling you to do something, but he's saying, hey, I just want you to do this. You just have to surrender. Number one, I want to talk about the surrender to go. And first off, if we go and you look back in verse 3, the Bible says, and he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed to him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. We must first say, the disciples, Peter said, okay, I'll go. He said, Jesus says, go, and just thrust out a little bit, and we'll just go. I'll preach the gospel, just go. So first we have to listen. He says, if God calls you to surrender, you need to listen. And not only listen, we need to obey. It says, as we listen to God, we need to obey him. As y'all saw my dad a few weeks ago, my dad is a his full-time pastor now, but his favorite sport is football. And my dad, in high school, he's 5'7", not even 100 pounds as his when he graduated. And he was the star quarter. He was the star quarterback on his football team. And short little fella, but he could do it. But about his junior year in college, you know, he came around, and it was time for fall practice right before season started. So he started going, and they were doing 2 days. So it was about time they were doing 2 days. They were doing conditioning in the mornings, and then they were having football practice at night, pad practice at night. And so he did, and God was calling him to preach, and he's like, no, God. He was just saying, hey, you know, Nathan, I want you to surrender to do the will for that I have for you. He's like, no, God, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. But that day in practice, and he was running for God. He pulled out, he had the ball, and he's come back to throw a pass around there. But the left tackle came around as he was turning rope, getting ready to throw the ball towards the right receiver. Got a dry crusher, probably weighing about 250, 300 pounds, came around, crushed his collarbone, and broke his collarbone. And my dad's favorite sport was like football. And, of course, it came to a point where it got my dad to think, okay, Nathan, you might want to do something now. He's saying, because it got to a point where God was just saying, hey, if you're not going to listen to me, I'm going to take the thing that you love most. I'm going to take that away from you. Dad was kind of mad at God. He's like, okay, Donald, why'd you make me miss my junior year in football? Now, he used to start a quarterback last year, so now he was going to secure his spot and then be the star quarterback for a senior year. But now, since he was out all junior year, he had to prove himself again. He had to do all this work, extra work. But we think of it as, even though that can be something that we may not all play football, we may not all do this, but the thing is, what do you love most that you're not going to give up for God? It says God may call you to be a soul winner, a Sunday school teacher, or maybe just to step up and just be a better Christian, just to step up. Now, not all of us can be preachers and teachers and all that stuff, but God may just say, hey, I just want you to be lame in the church. I just want you to teach. Or I just may want you to go put a flyer on someone's door. Just go on Saturday, just go soul winning. That may be all I want you to do. But God says just surrender unto his will, just listen and to obey. Second Mom says, surrender to be fully committed. We have to be, first of all, be all in. Now, when I was a junior in high school, I played basketball. We were undefeated in basketball. We were picked to win the not national. We were picked to win the state championship that year. We were going around. We had a good team, and we were going around, and we averaged probably about 40 points per quarter, at least in the first quarter. And we went down, and we got our butts whooped. We were going around, and it was to the point where the rest, and they, we were playing our rivals, for one of our rival schools, and it got to the point where I went up, a guy was coming up for a layup, and I hit his own, he's going up for a layup, and the referee said to me, he said, if you ever do that, you're going to sit down, I'm going to put you out of the game. So I ran over to coach, he's like, I said, take me out. He's like, why? I said, because if you're not, he is. So he's like, all right, so I sit down, Dorsey. I said, yes, sir. But we sit there, and by the end of that second quarter, we should have averaged about 60 to 80 points. We had six. We had 6 points the entire first half. And all of us, we're getting mad at the refs. We're yelling. We're doing all this and all that. We're like, coach, we can't do this. And he's like, these refs are idiots, are stupid. We can't get away with nothing. He's like, guys, shut up and listen. We're like, okay, yes, sir. And now coach wasn't a bitch. He wasn't a loud person. He was kind of short, stocky, but he was just like, he didn't yell. If you got him to yell, you're in trouble. And we're like, coach, man, like, what's going on? He's like, guys, y'all are a championship team. He said, act like one. Stop blaming it and act like one. Some of us can be good Christians, and we just met, or we play the game of being a Christian, but we must first act like one. He's saying, we could be a championship team. And coach was like, okay, you know, you got to be all in. Just kind of show it. Stop blaming everybody. Blame yourselves and just go out there and win. And we went out, and we were all mad. Coach got mad at us, and so we were like, all right, coach, we're not going to let you yell us anymore, so we're going to get something right. So we coming out of that third quarter, we ended up coming out, and we ended up blowing off 40 points that third quarter. We ended up having like six steals in a row, and we hit 20 points within probably about 2 minutes. We got put back in the game, and then we ended up winning that game. But you think of it as we see things, okay, we might be all in a basketball game. I know football's coming and starting up. We know some of these guys could be all in football. But more importantly than football or sports, we must be all in our Christian life.
That's good.
We all must say, hey, you know, the Bible says, you know, go ye therefore and teach all nations, you know, in the Great Commission, Matthew 28:19-20. Okay, that's great, but the thing is, it says go. And so, you know, like I said, you know, in English class, you know, you understand that go means a verb. And the subject is an understood you. So it says you go. It's not saying, okay, I can say, you know, Brother Barnes, I think you should go soul, and I think you should do this, I think you should do that. Well, then, if I'm not going myself, then I can't tell someone else to go.
That's right.
If I'm over here saying, hey, you know, I think we should do this, I think if I go up to preacher, say, you know, preacher, you know, I think you're doing this wrong, I think you're doing this and doing this, I think you should do this. Okay, he said, okay, but if you're not doing that, first off, then I'm not going to listen to you. You know, some of us, we want to analyze people saying, hey, you know, look at me, look at Monosign, you know, I can do this, I can do that. Okay, that's all good and all, that's good, you want me to pat you on the back or something, but hey, if you're not doing it, first off, then we need to do it. I was talking to the teens in Sunday school, and I was picking on Adrienne and Elizabeth. I said, you take about a decision, and Adrienne is older than, she's 2 years older. I said, okay, there's some things that Adrienne knows that Elizabeth doesn't know. And Adriana is going to help her sister out, saying, hey, you know, I want to teach, I want to lead you, okay? I said, simple put on this, I said, if you want her to, you want to be a spiritual sister, and you want to help your sister out, kind of pray for her. I said, just slip her a note, and just pray for her. Slip her under her door or whatever, and just say, hey, you know what, sis, I'm praying for you. You know, I love you, praying for you. And we're going through that, you know, simply that's just it could be a silly illustration, but hey, it can mean a lot for Elizabeth. It could be a big step up for Adrienne. And, you know, several of us would say, hey, you know, we may need, someone may be able to help us, but hey, you know, I'm really not that good at this, I'm really not that good at that. But that one thing is saying, hey, you know, I'm going to surrender, I'm going to be someone else, I'm going to be all in for someone. And you just say, hey, you know, I can change that person's life as long as I can just be surrendered, be all in. Be all in to the Christian life. Be all in to what God has for you to do. We must surrender unto the results of serving God. He says, when we surrender unto God, our faith is increased and our needs are provided. Like I said, the disciples received boatloads of fishes. But you think, if they just received boatloads of just throwing one net, what do you think if they fully obeyed God and said they put the nets out? But they only got blessings for one part of what they did. They said, okay, God, I'll throw out the net. But God says, throw out the nets, bro. Throw them on the other side. What happens if we will throw all the nets on our sides? What was God going to do for us? What are we going to see that God wants to do? Don't just throw the net. Throw the nets out.
Amen.
It says, the disciples, like I said, received boatloads of fish. Just saying, obeying God, what will you receive if you obey God? You think of, you know, as a kid, you know, The Bible says, you know, as the key, you say, children, obey your parents, for this is right. You know, okay, we want to obey our parents, you know, as kids and stuff. But okay, what happens as Christians? We want to obey our Father. What happens if we obey our Heavenly Father? If we want to please our earthly father and stuff like that, we want to please our dads as kids, and we want to do this and that. What happens if we please our Heavenly Father? What if we want to obey our Heavenly Father and listen to our Heavenly Father? What are we going to receive? We say we must be surrendered all to Him. It says all means all. Anything that takes the place of God, that's what we need to get rid of. We need to get rid of things that takes the place of God. Preacher talked about this morning about video games, social media. He said this morning, he said, but let's give that to God and just follow Him. We need to give that away and just follow Him. I've used this illustration. I have a set of keys in my pocket. I have keys. I can say, okay, God, you know, I have about 5 keys. But I can say, okay, God, I'll give you this key. I'll give you this key. I give you everything else, but this key means a lot to me. I don't want to give you this key because it could be, you know, in any area of your life. It could be, you know, whether it be your music, whether it be a friend that you shouldn't hang around with, or someone that you shouldn't talk to, or whether it be something like preacher talked about, video games that cost too much of taking your time, or anything that's taking the place of God. You say, hey, that's what that key is. That's what, see, God has all these. God has all these. I just say, if I had 4 keys, God has 75% of my life, but this 25%, it's too good for me to give up to God. It's too good. I like where this key leads me. You know, I like whether what door it holds. I can put this in a door and open it up, and I like what that door holds. What's inside that door? I like that too much. And God, you know, I'm not going to give it to you. But when we do that, God's just saying, okay, well, if you want to surrender all to me, you can't do that because I have that one key. I'm holding on to that one thing. That one thing is what's going to hinder you from completely serving God. That one thing is going to say, hey, you know, Brother Juan, I can help you out with something, but you have to let go of that one key. You know, I can help you whatever you're talking to. People come to preach, and as he said, as he's dealing with all what he's dealing with now and all his pain, he said, hey, what gives me what release of my pain is for you to come unto me and I can help you. Now you say, I can help you, Brother Juan, but you got to come to me, you got to get rid of that one key. That one key that you're holding on to, that's what's going to get you into completely serving God. That's what's going to hold you, don't refrain from you. You know, you think if Brother Holland was in, he said, okay, God, you know, I'm going to do this and this. I'll go on the mission field, I'll do this, but I'm not going to go to Norway. I'll go somewhere else. You know, I like the United States, so I'm going to go to Florida. I'm going to go there, or bless the land of Georgia. I'm going to go to Georgia. And so he gave everything to God besides. He gave 75% to God and just left 25% because he didn't want to leave the States. He didn't want to do exactly what God. Now he's going to preach the word of God. He's going to go start a church. He's going to raise the invitation, do everything else. But he's saying, God, you know, I'm not going to go to Norway. I'm going to go to Georgia. Or I'm holding everything to you, but I'm not going to do that. What's life going to be like for him? He didn't listen to God. He didn't obey God fully. Now, yes, God wanted him to be a missionary, so he did. But he's going to reach more people in Norway than he would in Georgia.
Right.
The thing is, some of us, we realize that, hey, the comfort's in our own heart for saying, hey, I like that too much. I like that key too much. I'm going to stay where I'm at. Like I preached about 2 weeks ago, whether we're going to be settled or satisfied. Yes, this life can be satisfied. We're satisfied with everything else. But the thing is, we must be settled to do much more than what God can ever do. The Bible says, you know, in Jeremiah 33:3, it says, talk to me and I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You know, we didn't know that God could do great things. We didn't know we could do this. We didn't know we can do that. But the thing is, hey, if John says, hey, you can do it, just let me do it. I didn't think I could run a service until Preacher went, and Mrs. Bush went on their trip. And I didn't think I could do that. Or I didn't think I could preach until I did 2 weeks ago. And then I for sure didn't think Preacher would get sick on me or whatever and just leave. But they always say, you know, you're going out with a bang. So I guess this is the bang part. Yeah. But we're going around and saying, hey, you know, people would say, hey, you know what? I can't do this. I can't do this. And I love my fiance, but she was like, okay, well, you need to, and she told me this, and she was like, you need to stop having confidence. You need to have confidence, not just in yourself, but have confidence in what God's going to do for you.
Right.
Okay, I can think of, okay, well, no, I can't do this. I can't do that. But God's going to say, hey, If you have the confidence within me, I can give you what you need. Preacher said this morning, you know, he doesn't have a lot of strength right now, but he said, but God's my strength. He told me this. He said he was hurting, and I imagine he told y'all he was hurting all before church. And right as when he started preaching, he's like, all that pain went away. But then right as he said amen and ended the service, that's when all that pain came back. What is that? That's the strength of God. That's God's strength. Okay, hey, but you look around, you see the building. You know, I haven't been here through the whole time, but the preacher's told me. You think, hey, if your preacher wasn't fully surrendered to God, we probably wouldn't have this. But if through all the things the preachers went through, you know, it wasn't through those things. Hey, it's just a coincidence or something like that. It's just nothing. I didn't know. Preacher's putting in a lot of work into. He's been full time also. He's put everything. He's laid out his life for this church. You know, he's put surrender for it. What a preacher do we have? We have a great preacher.
Amen.
But you think of that, okay? As what preacher's done for us, we must work to help preacher in everything we can do. We must be surrendered and fully devoted to God to help our preacher. When our pastor's down like this, what are we going to do? We're going to step up and we're going, hey, preacher, I'm here for you. I got you, preacher. Take it easy. I'll let you do it. You know, I didn't think I could step up and be, okay, preacher, you know, I can do this. I didn't think so, but the thing is, I was surrendered to God enough to say, hey, you know what, God, you know, he told me, he was joking, but I didn't take it as a joke. I thought, I was serious, and then he ended up with Cedar. He's like, well, you know, I left the house this time. I was talking to him and Ms. Bush, and he's like, all right, be prepared to preach tomorrow, you know. I thought he was just joking. I was like, okay. But I was like, you know what, something tells me, you know, he's not really joking, so I'm going to be prepared just in case. So I was prepared this morning to preach. So I had a message, and I was prepared to preach this morning. But as we see in there, hey, you know, even though it can be a silly thing, oh, you know, I'm not a person that can preach, or I'm not going to do this. Okay, but what happens when someone's taking their soul in, and there's people who need to be soul in, there could be someone that needs a soul winning partner. Okay, be surrendered and say, hey, you know what, I'm going to step up and be a soul winner. I said, I may not be able to talk. I may not be able to do this. I knew I was out laughing at Stephen. I was out soul-winning with Stephen yesterday. And I was like, hey, Stephen, you know we got four more doors. You want to hit a door? He's like, I don't think so. I said, hey, it's all right. You just let me know when you're ready. He's like, okay. He said, you know that last one? I think I'm talking about that last one. I said, okay. And before you know it, I was going with one. I thought he was right behind me. He's already at the other door, knocking on that door. I was like, hey, you know, if it was Daddy's, I would have told you to do that a while ago. But he was just like, you know, I said, you nervous? He's like, yeah. I said, okay, but I mean, I'm nervous now. But the thing is, why are we so nervous? Because we're doing the work of the Lord. You know, we can't take this, you know, oh, I got this. You know, okay, it's just the work of the Lord. No, we got to take it sincere. Now, I'm proud of him because he's like, hey, you know what? I'm overcome my fear. I'm a knock on that one door. Now, they didn't answer. He's like, ooh, I'm glad they didn't answer. But you think just like, hey, it's the work to say, hey, you know what? I told him, I said, well, you know, you don't have to knock on the door. Just let me know when you're ready. He's like, okay. He's like, well, probably his mind, you know, I'm going to do it. You know, sitting here, okay, Brother George saying this, you know, I think I can do it. So what did he do? He ended up winning. He ended up going and doing all stuff. Now, I thought he'd wait until I got there, and he just went on right. I was like, okay, and there we go. But you think, okay, through a teenage boy that doesn't really know how to do it, that hasn't really talked to somebody on our soul winning, he's like, you know what, I'll do this. He stepped up and just said, hey, you know, I can knock on that door. I don't need, Brother Dorsey over there. Let me go run ahead and go to Brother Dorsey. Go ahead to Brother Dorsey and just let me do it. Okay, we see those instances, but I didn't tell Stephen, hey, go do that. I said, hey, do you want to talk? He's like, I don't know. I said, okay, just let me know when you're ready. He's like, I think I'll do it. And next thing I know, he's already over there. He's like, I'm getting ready to. But we think to that, saying, hey, you know, okay, well, you're just a teenage boy. You're just a teenager. You can't really do anything. But the thing is, okay, God didn't say, hey, I need all the adults to do this. In the Bible, he said, don't let the children come unto me. Let the teenagers come unto me. Let the people come unto me. He didn't specify, oh, just adults. Well, I just need, you know, the, you know, 50 years and older crowd. I don't need just this. I just don't need that. I need everybody. He's like, I need the people to come unto me. Sorry, Chris. But so he's just like, hey, don't hinder the little kids to come unto me. He said, okay, hey. And so that man, that teenage boy right now had enough courage to knock on someone's door. Now when we go someone again or when he goes someone else, he said, hey, you know what? I've knocked on the door. Okay, let me knock on again. I hope no one's there. But when they knocked on the door, what do I say? And so, okay, but we see here he had enough. He said, you know what? I'm going to surrender under the will of God. I'm going to surrender under God. I said, hey, I'm going to go soul winning. I'm actually going to talk to somebody. Because he was all in. But the thing is, we can be all in about some area of our life, whether it could be, you know, our jobs. We can be all in our jobs, you know, or we can do this, or we can do whatever we like to do. And there's some things that we don't like to do. You know, I really don't like to stand up in front of people. But I was like, okay, you know, I'm not going to let that hinder me, you know. I see a preacher that needs me. He's like, hey, you know, he's like, I need you to really do this. I said, all right, preacher, I got you. I said, I'll let you do it. I'll do it for you. Now, am I nervous? Yes. But I was like, okay. But I'm not going to disappoint my preacher. I said, even though he's laying down, he's just like, hey, you know, it hurts to do that. I said, all right, preacher, let me do that for you. I can do that for you. There's some things that, hey, preacher or Mrs. Bush will say, hey, you know, ladies, you can help Mrs. Bush with any and every sense. Hey, you go up to her and say, hey, Mrs. Bush, you know, let me help you in any instance that you need. Let me, if you need anything, you just let me know. I'm going to surrender to be all in. I want to be all in for the Lord. I want to be all in. But what can I do to help? What can I do to help? As Christians, are you avoiding the call of surrender? Or are you trying to surrender but you don't know how? She said, hey, you know, I'd like to, but I don't know exactly what to do. I don't know exactly how I'm supposed to do it. But God says, surrender to God for your life and to do his will. As we surrender all to God, we need Christians that will obey the Lord's call, obey God's call, and be willing to surrender anything and everything to God's calling on their lives. Now Peter, if we look back in verse 4, you know, he was willing to do one part of God's will. He was willing to do one thing. But the thing is, if he did the whole thing, what do you think would have happened? You think that, we wondered, I was reading that when I was preparing the message, I was just like, it hit me again, of course, I've already done this. I was like, okay, you say the nets. And you say, no, it could have been two, it could have been three, it could have been ten for all we know. But the Lord says, put the nets out, but Peter only decided, I'm going to put one net out. So what nets are you not throwing out? Are you only throwing out one net, two nets? What nets are you not throwing out? I want you all to think, what areas or what keys are y'all not giving God? What nets are y'all not throwing out and saying, hey, God, you know, you tell me to throw these many out, but I'm just going to throw one out because, you know, I really don't want to do this. I've been doing this for a while, so I don't need to throw all these nets out. I just need to throw one out. But I want you to just say, hey, you know, I'm going to do all of them. He says maybe you can't because you haven't been saved before. You know, things change. You know, we see things. Hey, you know, we come across a lot of people that are lost and down on the way to help. But hey, just sort of saying, hey, you know what? I'm going to help them. I'm going to help that person. You know, I can be a witness. I always tease Adrienne in Sunday school. She works at this grocery store I can't pronounce. But she works at that Wise store or whatever it's called. But I just laugh whenever I see it. I always want to say Weiss, but I know that's not right. But whenever you should see the look on her face when I first said it. But you think, okay, she works there. I always see it. I said, hey, but there's several people that work there that by your attitude and your demonstration of or your willingness to serve the Lord when you go to church, there's some people that she can probably witness to coming in church because of how she is and how her attitude and how her actions are. By the way, she carries herself. You know, there's some people that, you know, always see them. So there's some people that, you know, are not easy to get along with. And like, right, Brother Joe? But we see this and say, hey, you know, this person's so hard to get along with. I say, okay, well, just pray for them. Okay, you know, they may get along, but some area in one time in their life, they're going to come down to a point where they're broken and they need some help. That's when you step in and say, hey, you know, I prayed for you. And then you may, just by through that, you possibly can get them to come to church and get them saved. But it's one of those things to say, even though they may be hard to talk to or they're rough to meet and talk and meet, but the thing is, you must be surrendered to be all in. Like I said earlier when I preached 2 weeks ago, I'll close with this illustration. You know, I was soul winning for a class one time, and there was a man that was on his front porch asleep, and he had beer cans, beer balls all the way around him. Around where he was sitting, he's like, yeah, I'm not talking to this guy. I don't know what he's going to do. I'm not doing it. But as I was out soul winning, I was like, you know what? I was like, I'm not souling because I want to, but I'm not talking to this guy because I want to, but I'm talking to him because I know that's what God wants me to do. I'm surrendering to be all in to go out soul winning. it doesn't matter who I talk to. You always pray, say, okay, Lord, start preparing the hearts for the people we're going to come in contact with, we're going to talk to through this week. Help us to help someone through this week. Okay, but what did I do? I went to that guy and we talked to him. He was lost, dying, going on his way to hell. We talked to him and was able to present the gospel to me, and as clear as could be, he got saved. But the thing was, if I wasn't completely surrendered all to go soul winning, that man probably wouldn't have gotten saved. Man probably wouldn't have. My dad says this. He said, no matter what you can do, you can always be faithful. And I don't remember who said this, but he said, who is in heaven because of you, but also who is in hell because of you? You think to that, the many people that you've witnessed to and gotten saved, they're in heaven because of you. But the people that you were too prideful not to witness to, saying, hey, you know, I'll come witness to them later, they could have went and died and went to hell because of you, because you didn't answer it. But I want y'all to think that, every head bowed, every eyes closed. I want y'all to think, who is in heaven because of you and who is in hell because of you? I want y'all to think, hey, you know, I want to be surrendered all. I want to be surrendered to God. I want to listen to God and say, hey, and obey God to the full. I want to be all in. So maybe you need to surrender to God about whatever it is, whatever is keeping you from God. Just surrender it tonight.